Now then, let's get to the study. Now we do have some sheets that are being printed. So we'll have these sheets at the end. And they're there with Sunny. The offering box is at the end, is out the door at the end, for tithes and offerings. And those sheets will be there. Please help yourself to a copy at the end. Because what I'm going to speak about today is, I think, very important. I'm going to speak on how to study the Bible. Now, it seems like a straightforward thing, but I've grown increasingly aware of perhaps people's lack of understanding, maybe due to a lack of teaching. Also, the need for us, as we were saying at the beginning, to be robust Christians. And you know, a robust Christian is someone who can really take from the Word of God, not what they think the Word of God is saying, but what they are sure the Word of God is saying. There's a great difference between, you know, thinking what the Word of God says, and it might mean this, I'm not quite sure, but it might mean this, and being able to say, absolutely, this is what the Word of God is saying. Because there's one thing for sure, when something is an absolute to us, then we can put weight on it, we can put stock on it. But until we get to the point of knowing that the Bible says this, and therefore, as a believer, I will walk this way, unless we're sure that what the Bible says, we can't put any weight, full weight on it. And, you know, that's detrimental to our walk. It's detrimental to the faith, because the Christian faith is about putting all our weight and trust and belief in the things that are in the Word. Now, there are some things that we're not, 100% sure on. There's different interpretations of different portions of Scriptures. And those things, we'll, you know, be wise, and we give people a measure of, freedom, and people believe one thing, someone else believes something else. Well, in eternity, we'll know. But there are things that we can be sure about. And there's plenty of them. And the things that we're not quite sure about and are open to interpretation, there's far less of those than the things that we can be sure of. And so what I want us to do is, I wanted us to really be clear on these scriptural things. Because it's come to my, I've noticed that there's so many people who put themselves forward as Bible teachers, and they're just not Bible teachers. They're just not. Let me clarify. There's people who you can become a pastor in a church now. You can. I came across some people this week. Someone said that they had a degree from a great university. And it was a con. They didn't have a degree from a great university. They'd invented this university. They gave it the same name as a great university, and then issued themselves with a degree, or their friends issued them with a degree, and they're a pastor in a church. I mean, it's hard to imagine people would do such a thing, but they do. And they're not I've seen this a couple of times. And they're conning people. I mean, if someone, let's say, for example, is, if you go to a dentist, you don't want to go to a dentist, you don't want to go to someone who's enthusiastic, who's all geared up for the job, but he hasn't trained. Yeah, open wide, Mr. Evans. I hope this man's trained. I hope he's gone to college. I hope he's trained. Or a doctor, a doctor giving a medical examination and, he hasn't actually trained, but I tell you what, he makes up for it with his enthusiasm. No, he doesn't make up for it with his enthusiasm. You're meant to have enthusiasm, but you've got to have some kind of training. Now, listen, I've been to the Bible College. I went to London Bible College. I trained in the Anglican College. So going to the Bible colleges isn't necessarily going to turn someone into a good Bible teacher. In fact, very few that have gone to the colleges seem to be very good Bible teachers. They seem to have a tremendous bias towards the terrible heresy of liberalism, sadly. That's the truth. That's what we're encountering more and more. And so that's no qualification. But when I'm saying qualified, one of the best Bible teachers I've heard didn't go to Bible college, Jim Symbol over the Brooklyn Tabernacle. But what he did do is he applied himself to serious study. And he can, if you speak to him, you know that he's got a good wealth of understanding, an understanding of the scriptures and, you know, the context and things. It's vital for us to have that. Otherwise, strange doctrines will come along and people will lead people. And very often, this liberal bias, this terrible liberal tide has taken people on this journey because people haven't studied the Bible for themselves. And the people in the positions leading people have had this liberal bias. They've taken people on this journey, and it's had a devastating impact on the church to a large degree. And so what I felt for us was, each one of us, we believe as a church, you know, in the priesthood of all believers, we believe that each one of us has been anointed by God. Each one of us is in fact a priest before God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so each one of us who's a true believer ought to have the rudimentary elements of Bible study, those basic components of Bible study. And they are quite basic and readily available. And so I thought it would be good for us just to have a look at some of these things. And I've put them down for you in one of these little things for you to have at the end. So please do take that away. I've got the summary of what we're talking about there. But what we can see is when we come to study the Bible is that 2 Timothy 2:15 exhorts those believers towards this. And I find that so often one of the problems in the church is laziness. So we don't want to be lazy. You know, we have New Life Bible College now. And so we're putting together Bible studies for the people in New Life Bible College, for ministers around the world. And some of them have been sent things on email. Some the website is up now. And some of them are starting to, I think, sign onto the website, or they've been given the information to sign on, and perhaps they're going to start having those lessons direct from the website. But we recognize how important it is to get people to think the right way, to study the scriptures. And this here in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, is Paul writing to his student, and he's saying, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. It's talking of diligence. There is something in this diligence. You know, people apply themselves in their lives to being diligent. They want to be diligent in their work. They want to be known as someone who's diligent in their work very often. You know, a sloppy workmanship is a horrible thing, isn't it? If you have workmanship and it's sloppy, it's a horrible thing. It's a detestable thing. You want excellence. When we do things, we want to have excellence. And here Paul is conveying this, and he's saying, approve to God a worker who does not need to be ashamed. In fact, sloppy workmanship is a shameful thing. People in their right mind should be ashamed of sloppy workmanship. It's not right. Rightly dividing. He applies it now to the Bible. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. And when he says rightly dividing it, the implication is clear. We can wrongly divide the word of truth, therefore. But being diligent, we'll rightly apply the word of God. You see? So if I have the scripture and I share a verse of scripture, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, This isn't, the scriptures aren't a suggestion list for our lives. The scriptures are our lives. So when we go to the scriptures, when we read the scriptures, this isn't something that should be distant at an arm's length from us. The scriptures should be in us. Jesus talks of the word of God dwelling in us. It's to dwell in us. Because the word of God is the thing that keeps me in my right mind. The word of God is the thing that gives me discernment, shows me which way I should go, leads me away from the foolish things, leads me towards that which is right. It's the word of God that does that. The word of God is our treasure. And so the word of God is something that we should hold and have it dwelling inside of us so that we can then apply it to our lives. And rightly dividing the word of truth, not wrongfully doing it. And so many people are wrongfully doing it. So many people, I was asked even just this morning, you know, I had an email this morning. And I've had quite a few emails this week. What do you think about this person? This pastor says this. What do you think about this one? Well, there's a pastor on the television, a very nice man. You look at him, the first thing I notice is his lovely suits. He's got some beautiful suits, and he looks so plausible. And he's an old gent, and he looks so nice, you know, and he just looks so plausible, a nice, gentle way, you know, not like me with a rough voice sometimes. But he's got such a lovely way about him, so soft and lovely, and you could just listen to him, you know, and he puts himself over so well. But the thing is, he's a cessationist. He believes that the gifts have ceased. He doesn't believe in the work of the Holy Spirit for today. Well, cessationism is a terrible lie. It's an evil and wicked lie. So you see, you can have someone there look so nice, sounds so pleasant, but is in that pleasant and nice way pouring out the lie of cessationism, pouring out the lie of it. There's another man, John MacArthur. Very clever man. We met him. He was very kind to Micah and I on our honeymoon. And we were in Banff in Canada. He was so kind to us. He sent Federal Expressed us the Bibles, his study Bibles, and gave us a couple of gifts of books. His book, lovely, and his wife, Pat, beautiful they were. But I'm forced to say it. Here's a man who, for all that nice way he was with us, is attacking the charismatic church, attacking the gifts of the Spirit, attacking people who believe in the Holy Spirit and his gifts and the life of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, talking in tongues and all the rest of it. He denounces people like that as following the enemy. Well, I mean, there's a wick that's pure wickedness. It's so evil. So, you know, I need to be clear-minded and not be have a fudged thinking. Let me advise you, my friends, don't have fudged thinking. Be clear thinking and know why you believe what you believe. Each one of us, you know, is responsible to know why you believe what you believe and to know what you believe and to believe it. Believing means, yes, I believe. Of course, I believe that. You know, when Jesus says that these signs will follow them that believe, he talks about tongues. I believe that. So that's why I can clearly and confidently denounce, totally denounce that nice man John MacArthur's teaching. I denounce it because it's not aligned with Jesus. And I'm a follower of Jesus, you see? Nice man. I don't believe him. Very intelligent man as well. Great information on the Bible. Great information on the context of the Bible. But we've got to be clear thinking, clear understanding. Why do I, well, I, when I put Jesus' words as the top priority in my life, it makes it very easy for me to then dismiss his words. I reject his words. They are deficient. Am I making it clear this morning? I want to be really clear on it, because I'll tell you this, the enemy is like he's a serpent, and he tries to trick people, tries trickery, and he tries it with nice teaching and nice, and oh well, it's okay, we can, you know, we can. And what it does is it robs from people the truth that's essential to the Christian life. So I don't want that to happen to us. You know, studying the scriptures is at times work. You know, it's interesting, in our quote here, 2 Timothy 2:15, the word worker is mentioned. Worker. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Well, studying the scriptures is sometimes work. You know, but we live in a childish age. We live in an age where people want to come to church. They want the balloons lined up or whatever it is, a nice smoke machine, loud music, sound as if you're in a concert. Everyone goes away jumping and happy, and everyone's happy with that, you know, and see you in the week. Great. But, you know, that's childish. It's like a childish party. It's childish. God's not calling us to be childish. He's calling us to be mature. He's calling us to be people with the weight of the gospel inside of them, dwelling inside. So that when we meet people, and we speak to people, what happens is our words can change a life. Our words can impact people, and there's weight to our words. Are you familiar with the expression, there's weight to his words? There's weight to her words. Anyone heard that? You know what I'm saying? There's weight to the words. And so where he's talking about work here, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Well, what kind of worker needs to be ashamed? A slack worker, sloppy worker, a sloppy worker, someone who just does, well, I've done that, but it's a mess. Well, we haven't done it. It's not done with diligence. It's not done with vigor and excellence. God's called us to be excellent workers. Do things with excellence. Do things to the utmost. Amen. Whatever we've got to do for God, let's do it to the utmost. Don't be slack. Be a worker, whatever it is. And when it comes to our Christian lives, where he's saying here, a worker, studying the scriptures at times takes work. And so in this little pamphlet that I've got out there, you'll see that I've made a suggestion of places where we can go to study, and it'll help. The reference is on there. You'll see it as you take it away. So we ask God when we come to study the Bible. And we ask the Holy Spirit then to impart understanding to us. That's one of the Holy Spirit's functions, to help us to understand. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, we come to the Word of God, we do it with the children. As we have our tea, our Bible studies, at the end of the day, we gather for us. We ask that the Lord will help us understand the scriptures that we're reading. And this is, you know, the practice that we adopt. And through the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and notice this week we've been speaking of truth. Did anyone watch the program on Thursday night, by the way, on Faith World? Yes, excellent, excellent, excellent. Well done, everyone, for watching. Thank you for watching. And, you know, we were speaking of truth. Well, someone spoke to me. Someone responded, wrote me a text about it, and they said, oh, well, you know, why do you need to speak about truth? So they said it was excellent, but is there such a need to speak of the truth so much? I said, of course there is. So many people are caught in lies, and people haven't remembered how important it is to have the truth. And here we have it, look. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So when he guides us into all truth, the Word of God, there are things in the Word of God that are absolute truths. And he leads us into those absolute truths. So when someone comes then and tries to con us or take us away or, a terrible liberal doctrine, for example, may come and present a sort of feasible argument to some degree, we realize, no, that isn't true. That's not the truth. Why? The Spirit of truth is leading us. He's led us. We've asked him. We've inquired of him, and he's leading us. He will not speak to his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will tell you what is yet to come. So he gives us the truth even before it's happened. Amen. We've had that in the church, haven't we? Well, thank you in that corner. That's lovely. That's beautiful. We've had that in the church, haven't we? God has spoken to us. Of course he has. Can you give a bit more enthusiasm to God Almighty, please? I mean, we should be so thankful, shouldn't we? Now, it says this, just as the Holy Spirit guided the apostles in the writing of the New Testament, he is guiding us in understanding the New Testament. It's the same Holy Spirit. So we can equip ourselves with this. Now, the second point I wanted to make then was this. When we come to studying the Bible, we don't pull a verse out of the scriptures. So often, glibly, the modern church just pulls a verse out and applies it to their lives, you know. And it's a completely out of context verse. Well, it's okay to do that, I suppose, if it gives someone a boost and it helps someone, so what? You know, okay, I suppose it's okay on that level. But, you know, there's a deeper level where we understand the context, we understand the roots of this, we understand what that scripture meant originally. And when we understand the scriptures in that way, it really does help to shape our lives, not to give us a quick hit of a quick fix, but to really orchestrate and design and shape our lives. So in summary here, as I go to this, what I'm speaking of this morning, the way which I would suggest we study the Bible is called inductive Bible study. This is the way that we study the Bible. It's inductive Bible study. And it asks basically three questions. It asks, what does the scripture in question say? What did it mean to the original readers? And consequently, what does it mean to me today, the person studying the scripture today? Those are the three questions that inductive Bible study addresses. What did it originally say? How was it originally understood? And how do I understand it now and apply it to my life today? Let me give you an example, shall I? Let's go to Galatians 1 as I just close here with just giving us a quick example. In reading a book of the Bible, to understand then how to study this book, what I do is I look quickly up a little synopsis of Galatians. And I go to one of the websites that will offer that. Usually a website will have its own bias, but usually they will concur in the general themes. The overriding, overview will be fairly similar with most of them. So in Galatians, for example, we know it's the Apostle Paul, and we know that it was probably the first book of the New Testament to be written, in fact. And we know that it was written because there was issues with the Judaizers who were getting the new Christians to go the way of Judaism and basically saying, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to be circumcised and a Jew. And then when you're circumcised as a Jew, you can follow Jesus. And the Apostle Paul was saying, no, 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 no. It's by grace that we're saved. It's the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're saved. We're not going that old way anymore. The law has been surpassed by this new covenant of grace. We're in the new covenant now. And so it's an interesting time, and the church is wrestling, because of course most of the early church was Jewish. So the early church is a Jewish church to a large degree. And so the other peoples, the Gentiles, come into this church, but Paul is defending them and saying we're not going to put them under the law as we lived under the law in the old covenant. We're under this new covenant now, this wonderful new liberating covenant. And this leads us to understand things such as why there's such a terrible error in the church with things like dispensationalism, such a wicked error and a lie, a doctrine of the demonic, to be honest, because that teaching says that Jews still have their old covenants in place, and the new covenant is predominantly for the church age, and it's for the Gentiles. You Jews, you're over there. You're excluded in the main from this because you still have your covenants. No way. No way. The early church was a Jewish church, and that Jewish church was, in fact, the main thrust of the early church, and the Gentiles are grafted in to that church. Amen. But there's a lot of misguided, and that dispensationalism heresy has gone around the world. It's the predominant view in so many churches at the moment, especially of the charismatic ilk. And it's a terrible deception. But understanding the Bible, understanding Galatians, will reveal that to us. So quickly, I go quickly. There's a bit of work going on here this morning, isn't there, folks? Are we okay with a bit of work? We're okay with a bit of work, aren't we? A little bit of, you know, a little bit of digging to understand and to apply. Watch now. We understand that it's Paul. We understand it's one of the early books of the New Testament. We understand the context of the book, that it's written to address those issues. And then we read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now watch what he says. And then with the understanding of the background that we've just had, just that little summary of background, watch how these verses now are illuminated. Watch how these verses take on a new and clear meaning. Just with a little bit of background, we can see they come alive to us. Watch what it says. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Very strong language from Paul. Paul isn't mincing his words. What he's saying is this: if they are preaching something else to you than the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they're preaching this Jewish stuff, this circumcision, all this other stuff that they say, well, you've got to have this, you've got to have... No, let those people who preach that be accursed. And what he's meaning in the Greek there is let them suffer the results of the curse. In other words, let them be hellbound. So strong, so powerful. But that really hits home. And you see, when that hits home so strong, what happens is now, with that in mind, we become sharpened. The work that we're doing in understanding the word sharpens our minds. so that when we go to the fluffy service with the balloons and the smoke machine, and everyone's shouting loud and everyone's going away and nothing changes. And foolishness sometimes is being said. You know, you have these churches where people, like, here's a clue. Someone's going like this all the time. Someone, they're on TV, they're going, ooh, ooh, ooh. I've actually seen a woman on TV, she's going like this all the time. Ooh. And do you know what they're doing? They're saying in this, and the Christians are, oh, they love this. You know, these naive Christians, bless them. You know, they're so spiritual. What they're saying, you see, in this is, look at me. I'm so spiritual, I've got a twitch. Oh, I'm so close to God. I'm so spiritual. God's really close to me because I've got a twitch. I mean, it's hard to imagine the childishness and the lack of maturity. But it's no wonder the world out there isn't being impacted by the Church of Jesus Christ when there's childish things going on. Listen, I will laugh, and I could be rolling around in laughter on the floor. I've received the wonderful freedom of the Holy Spirit. I've received the wonderful things of the Lord. So I'm not stiff in these areas. But when someone is behaving like this all the time, it's childish. And it alienates people from sharing the gospel. It's a silly thing. God wants us to be wise. What I say is this: let's be biblical. There's joy in the Lord. And let's be biblical. And let's do a bit of work. Let's study the word so that we can mature. We live in days, my friends, where God wants us to be mature and robust, so that instead of being a childish church, when we grow in 5 years' time, as the church matures, as the church grows, what happens is the impact that we're having is at a deeper level, where people are robust in their faith, where people can get over the childish things. I want us to be a church that's really like a Bible. I want the sermons to be like a Bible college, really, in a way. You know, if we have prayer meetings and we're lost in the Spirit and there's laughter, there's joy, I'm all for it. But there's a time for that, and there's a time to get to work with understanding the Word of God. And the time for us now, I sense strongly, is for us to grapple, to get to work, to understand the Word of God, to apply it first of all to ourselves, then to give what we've got. You can't give it unless you got it. To give that then to other people, the robust gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the weak, childish things, not a twitch or a come, you know, the robustness of the true gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul suffered for, that the apostles suffered for, that church history is lined with. You know, one of the things I want to do in the next couple of weeks, I'm thinking I'm going to do this, is I'm going to go through church, the history of the Bible, I think, and just do a little sessions on Facebook or, you know, whatever we'll do. We'll record it somehow, and we'll just put the history down of the Bible and the history of the church from the first century right through to the modern century. It'll just show about the persecution, about the need for the Word, to understand the Word, how the Bible was formed, how we got it, and understanding those things. I think that helps towards us then applying ourselves very seriously to this Word that we have today. But we live in a time, you know, when little children, you have little children, you know, these lovely little children. When we have little children, the little children need to be entertained all the time, don't they? If you have a room full of, say, 10 children, you can't just leave them on their own and expect them to study. They're not going to do that. They'll be playing with each other. They'll be fighting each other. There'll be pens going out. You'll come in. There'll be chaos in the room. Well, that shouldn't be the case with the Church of the Lord Jesus. The Church of the Lord Jesus should have people who are mature enough to study the Scriptures. Let me ask you this morning, my precious brothers and sisters, are you studying the Scriptures? Are you reading the scriptures with a point of intent so that you're saying, what does this mean for me in my life? How will I now be changed through this? Or are you like a little child? I just want my crayons and my thing over. Just put the TV on for me, please. Put the TV on. I don't want to read the book. I'll put the TV on for me. Or are we going to be mature and study and grow and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Know what the Bible says and then give it to other people. Give them some lovely food. It's the food. It's our spiritual food. It's essential to our daily walk with Jesus. My precious brothers and sisters, I submit this to you this morning, and the notes are there afterwards. Let's close then as we stand and our last hymn.